But we'll continue a four-part series. Today's part three on gratitude. And by definition, gratitude is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. This is the end result of obtaining the idea or mastering the practice of gratitude. How do we get there? How do we have that in us? How do we have the gratitude, the attitude of gratitude? You don't just wake up one day and say, attitude of gratitude. But it takes practice, it takes discipline, it takes knowing Jesus. We have been learning the last couple of weeks that what if we approach this season with this series of holidays coming up, not with stress and worries or bank accounts or credit cards, but with the heart that pursues God and His Word. And then hopefully by January comes around, we don't find ourselves out of money, out of friends, and hopefully not out of our mind. Amen? We learn that when God is at the forefront or the driving force of our actions, we begin this process, this transformation into this deeper faith and trust that overshadows and minimizes our stress and anxiety. And Sean, I know you need that more now than ever. This does not mean that life is full of sunshines and rainbows when you accomplish this attitude of gratitude. We conclude that life sometimes can take away your smiles for a moment, but it doesn't have to take away your worship. Our main text today is continuing Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, 6, and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, when we read this, we think about the holidays and the families and what's going on right now, but we put this into situational. Sean reads these same passages of scripture right now as he go through this grieving process. Or the friends, and some of you have families over in the Middle East right now, reading the same passage of scripture. Or the prayer request that comes across my desk with cancer or miscarriages. Reading the same passage, "Do not be anxious about anything." That seems like impossible advice, isn't it? Don't be anxious. Just pray about it. Thank God in every situation. And I can tell you this, as a pastor, I'm not sure I can do that. Sometimes I get angry and sometimes I look at God and I say, "You need to fix this." Doesn't matter if you're Asian, black, white, rich, poor, CEOs, or just entering the workforce. As long as you're living in this world and breathing and moving, you will experience hurt, loneliness, loss, grief, lack of direction, and overwhelming things that's going on in your life, and so on. All of us in this room are battling the 24 hours. And Jesus intentionally teaching us is, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is all saying, one day at a time. Don't put off for tomorrow. And since we can't escape entirely the escaping the nature of this evil world, this fallen world, Paul wrote to the Philippians, essentially for us as well. He says, don't be anxious about anything. And I read that, and it seems impossible. How is trusting God going to solve my problems? How is trusting God going to pay my bills? Does God automatically going to deposit money into my account as the holidays approaching? How is trusting God going to alleviate my loneliness, heal my sickness? We worry, we have anxiety, because we have real problems. And it seems impossible not to have anxiety. And you're right. It seems like it's impossible advice. Satan himself wants us to doubt, to avoid God, to think that God can't fix your problems. And we read these words, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving and present your request to God. You know how hard that is. It is impossible. And you're right. It is impossible. But that's the whole meaning, the whole purpose of this nugget of truth that gratitude begins with trusting God to do the impossible. Amen? That's the idea of trusting God. I'm trusting God to do the impossible. When we steer our anxiety to prayers, our worries to scripture, our situations to thanksgiving, we are requesting God, God, I can't do this, and I need your help. That's the whole idea of gratitude. I'm trusting God to do the impossible. Last week, Liz and I shared that we went through a very rough time in our lives. We had to completely trust God. Our life was on a prayer. Our eyeballs were in the scriptures, and our hearts were completely waiting for God. I had just lost my job after buying a house. Liz was a teacher. She picked up odds and ends after school programs. She would take kids to academic games or even volunteer, not volunteer, but be a part of the after school program to make ends meet. I started a teen center at the time in basketball coaching and training business, trusting God that our work here is not done, that he called us to stay here and be here and wait. Our roof was leaking. We had Avery. Drew, remember when you, on the side of your bed, when it rained, your water was coming in? We had Drew stay with us for a while. Every penny counted. Money was real tight, and comes Avery. There was some money promised to us for a teen center that never came. We didn't go to fancy dates, or go on fancy dates, or eating out was not an option unless we received a gift card from one of our basketball parents. Forget shopping sprees and Starbucks. Starbucks was a treat. And Liz got to know Ross really well during that time of our lives. Ross was the shopping spree. There's nothing wrong with Ross, but we still love it. We still go. We did have a really nice vacation because a friend of ours, Helene Milbert, who owns a cabin in Blue Ridge, Georgia, I said, just take your family there and enjoy it. And we did. We remain friends still today. I remember Liz skateboarding to work because we live close enough and I needed the car for fundraising purposes. She had to ask permission if she can get a cup of Starbucks. That's a great woman, isn't it? That's a great woman. This is not part of my sermon, but here's my pastoral advice. When you find someone and then you go on dates and you find a guy or a girl, this idea of equally yoked is someone who has the same passion as you are. It doesn't have to be the same activity, because Liz and I have nothing in common. We don't even like doing the same stuff. We don't. But we have the same passion to pursue God and His ministry and His kingdom, that she's willing to cut back and give up to do what it needs to be done. In 2013, we downsized from our single family home, rented out to our friends, and moved to an apartment just down the street from here. To simplify our lives and make ends meet, to have some financial freedom so we can do ministry. We told ourselves it was just temporary. We ended up living there for 5 years, this two bedrooms. And at this time, we had coming on 3 kids and a dog. We brought Aram home to that apartment. And last week we said, sometimes God's provision for our lives, for us, is giving. Sometimes He gives us more. Avery, can you pull up the slides, please? But sometimes He provides us with an opportunity to cut back as well. What He's already given us. It's not always more, but sometimes is to cut back. He says, do not be anxious about anything. I remember telling Liz, the money that was promised to us for the teen center, it didn't come. And I said, we probably need to sell our house. It was our first home, and she says, it's just a home. It's just a house. We can buy another one day. So we sold our house to our friends that were renting from us. But do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. When we steer our anxiety and our to prayers and our worries to Scripture and our situation with thanksgiving and giving it to God, we're pretty much asking God to do the impossible. And in this process of our lives, we learn this little nugget of truth. And it can be discouraging to get what you want. We're not getting what we want at the moment. But listen, I discover a secret. And it's the second part of this passage of Scripture. And the peace of God transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Even though life was not easy, God, but we knew that God was with us during our high, when we bought the house, but He didn't abandon us when we were at the lowest. The gratitude is the peace, knowing that God is the God of peaks and valleys. That peace would transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Reminds me of when Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It's on the screen if you need it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then the rain came down, stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beats against that house. And it fell with a great crash. There's an old saying, one day at a time, huh? That you don't abandon church when life aren't going well, and you don't abandon Christ when you don't get what you want. You don't abandon the scripture because it doesn't fit your own life needs and styles. Tough times will come. It's inevitable. What makes us last through the tough times is our foundation in Christ Jesus. Amen? That is the peace that transcends our understandings. I don't have to have it, but I know I have Jesus standing right there with me, with the highs, in the highs and in the lows, in the peaks and in the troughs, on the hills and the valleys. I'm going to have the guys come forward real quick. I hope this song will minister to you. Come on, guys. So at the lowest point in our lives, we're in an apartment, two-bedroom dog. Ari was on his way. And she was born already. Three kids and a dog in the two-bedroom apartment. The money that was supposed to come in for our teen center never came. I received a phone call from my sister that the guy who took my family in, I call him my stepdad, even though he was never officially my stepdad, had a heart attack and passed away. 46 years old. My sister was still in school. My mom didn't have a job. And somehow I took on the task of paying for the funeral cost. Didn't know where it was going to come from. The Glick family funeral home was gracious enough to say, no, just we'll take care of it and just pay back whenever you can. Just make payments. A couple months later, I received a phone call from this lady that I haven't spoken to in years. Roughly 6 or 7 years. She wanted to meet at Whole Foods for lunch. I said, sure. We're talking and she said, "Nu, I don't know why I wanted to meet with you for lunch, but I had a dream and God gave me a number." And she wrote down the number. She had slid it to me in an envelope. And I opened an envelope. It was $6,900. It was the exact cost for the funeral for my stepdad. We can, because he won't. Amen? When it comes to gratitude, it's when you literally asking God to do the impossible in your life. And whatever that is, And you can move forward because He won't. And all of us in this room are going through something. Some are good, some are bad. And I guess you're never going to really heal from this, Sean. It won't be the same. We can say all we want. Oh, it will never be the same. And those of you who lost loved ones, you understand that. It's never the same. But you can, because He won't. Amen. And my utmost gratitude is that sometimes you just throw your hands up and all you have is a hallelujah. And that's all you have. As the band come forward, by way of invitation, if you have any prayer requests at all, our elders will be up here to pray with you. We also have a baptism today as well, a celebration. Michaela, would you go ahead and make your way back with Caden and Janet? Go ahead and go change as well. Walk with Bessie, she'll show you. But I hope the songs will minister to you and in the scripture. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and petition. Transcends all of our understanding. And His peace. He's with you in the hills and in the valleys. Let's stand. And by way of invitation, if you need prayers, we'll be up here to pray with you. You never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hope that decision would be for you today as well.